You do shading, is that correct?
Usually my credits are shading art director.
Okay. I'm relatively familiar with the animation process, but a lot of people aren't, so
yes.
Give a little explanation of what they see on screen when that happens.
So a shader art director designs all of the colors and textures for all the characters and sets in a movie. So I see everything, and I think that my job is to make sure that the characters and the environments can look great together.
You supervise shading on everything.
Yeah, so I get to see the sets through, and I also get to see the characters through. And it's great because I can tell when in production there's a point where I can start seeing what it's going to look like in my mind. Mm-hmm. On The Good Dinosaur, because we have such stylized characters in realistic environments, it's a little bit different than Pixar usually. Usually everything goes a little bit more realistic, mm-hmm. Or everything goes more stylized, like on The Incredibles. Mm-hmm. But on this film, it's interesting because it has that contrast.
Does that provide a real challenge? Because of such, for lack of a better term, cartoon-ish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The dinosaur is very cartoonish. The kids are very cartoonish.
Yes.
Not getting too technical, but how do you reconcile that from having to blend into a photorealistic background?
Well, I think that the decision to do that was on purpose. We really wanted to get the sets to feel really gigantic, epic, and they have to be very convincing. Mm-hmm. And Pete wanted to have the audience feel that the environment is like a character and that it's a really big challenge for Arlo and Spot for their journey and for Arlo to get back home. Mm-hmm. So the cartoony characters in the realistic environment, I feel like you feel that the sense of danger more when he's a little bit cartoony. It's an interesting look because I feel like in CG, we haven't really seen that before. I feel like it feels really fresh, and I'm happy with the way that it came out.
I remember the first time I saw Ratatouille. Did you mm-hmm. work on Ratatouille?
I did. I helped them for a little while.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was not on the whole time, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing the cityscapes of Paris and thinking, well, there you go. We are now into it looking exactly like reality. Mm-hmm. And that's when I first thought we crossed that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever at a point, because your job is so nuanced, we'll say, do you ever get to the point where you're like, nope, we're done. We don't have to advance anymore? Are there always, on a technical side, more stuff that you're trying to accomplish that maybe we don't see?
I think that it depends on story.
Okay.
That's our main design challenge, is to provide the director everything that he needs to get out of the story, so that if Pete says, I really need the environment to feel epic because I need the, you know, he wanted to do the very wide shots and get just this feeling of vastness, we have to do that in the sets. Mm-hmm. And then the characters, for them to sort of fit into that, we're always making the characters and the environment satisfy story. I don't think we ever think about it technically first, like, oh, are we going to be able to do this thing just because we want to do it? I feel like the story drives the technology, so that our job is mainly to satisfy story and the director.
You keep mentioning story, and that's one thing I've always felt, in not just in seeing Pixar movies, but in looking at behind the scenes mm-hmm. footage of it, that there's a big picture always there.
Mm-hmm.
When you're starting off and then from the beginning to the end, how do you maintain the focus on that big picture, on the heart of the story, when you're working on something that's maybe not directly into the character, but I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
It does involve itself into the character.
It does, yeah. And we at Pixar, I feel like story always changes and it's keeps getting better and tighter the mm-hmm. further down the road we go. Mm-hmm. And we always have story in mind. I feel like we have the director meeting so much, like art director art reviews and meetings with Pete, especially on The Good Dinosaur, so often. And he's was really great about keeping us abreast of what all the changes were in story. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a super important part of our job is to support story. And I think that that's why Pixar is great, because we do have that luxury to be able to refine and keep making the story better. Mm. I've been there 18 years now, and it's kind of just the way that we work, and it's sort of second nature to us now.
What are some of the things that we're seeing in terms of just sort of advancements in the artistry of this? That, again, we're talking, I guess, on a level that the average audience just, they see it, but they don't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
And they process it. But what are we going to see this time that maybe we haven't seen?
Mm-hmm. We did use a new way of working in the backgrounds where we took data from USGS maps.
Okay.
And it gave us this very, not quick, but it gave us a great starting point where we would get swaths of sets that were based on USGS data in Wyoming. And there's limitations because the mesh is super blurry. And if you get higher resolution USGS data, it's really heavy and you can't move around very easily and things like that. But like it got us maybe 60% there, or, you know, if we had to make everything from scratch like we usually do, it I don't think we could have made the movie in the time that we had. The other thing that the USGS data gives you is where all the trees are. So in the background, you know, if you had hillside or a mountain in Wyoming, it actually would tell you where the trees are. And so you would get this interesting just green of groups of trees.
Okay.
And sometimes we'd have to go in and fix it because it looks kind of, doesn't look great, like too holy or too patchy. And we'd have to simplify it, but it was a really great way to get information quickly so that we had something to start with, and then we would fix it from there. The other thing is water.
That's always
the river.
Challenge.
Yeah. Rivers are always really hard. And this one in our film was so related to story. It's kind of the yellow brick road that Arlo follows to get back home. Okay. It was expensive. And so the effects team had to be very strategic about how we saw them in certain shots. So the art department, sets department, and effects worked really closely to plan out the river shots because super expensive. And the river is so much wider than the Brave River that it's a lot of rendering time, and, you know, a lot of technology had to go into it to make it look the rapids, you know, and just get that feeling of powerful, surging water was hard.
Obviously, deadlines are always an issue.
Mm-hmm.
A release date's a deadline you really can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know, I believe this one, was it this one that got shifted?
Yes.
At one point? But, you know, when it got locked into this November, how do you reconcile deadlines and making it as perfect as possible, but knowing when to sort of just let it go? And is that a continuing challenge, or are you able to sort of run that through a process?
I think it's different on every film, you know, because obviously the time that you have to work on it is different every time. But I feel like we're really good at making things, and that's kind of not, I feel like that's not really the issue for us at Pixar. Like, I know that whatever time limit that we have, we can always get it done.
Okay.
And maybe it's because I've been through so many. That part doesn't really bother me anymore. I know that we can always get it done. And I know that, you know, as an artist, it is hard to sometimes let things go, but you know when you have to.
Okay.
For me, it's I could do that more easily now.
Okay.
Than in the beginning.
Well, and you're in charge, aren't you, of your team?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the supervisor for all of shading.
Well, so the way that shading works at Pixar is that I'm an art director of shading, and I work with the production designer and other art directors and artists in the art department, and we design the characters and sets. The character designer designs the character. I take a pass and do the color. And in the sets department, I take a pass on the color and sets.
Okay.
So that when we have the artwork, we don't just hand it off, but we see the, like in Arlo, we see Arlo through the process of modeling and shading.
Okay.
So that, we're involved even on the technical side. There's a really great relationship and collaboration between the art and technical.
Yeah.
And so we work back and forth, and just see everything through to the end.
Okay. Yeah. Do you end up touching a lot of the Pixar movies, or are there ones like Inside Out? Did you just have nothing to do with that one and were focused?
I actually helped on Inside Out for about 2 months.
Okay.
So there are movies where we help, like on Ratatouille, I helped for a couple, I think actually I helped maybe 6 months on that one.
Yeah.
But the ones that I do go on, like, Toy Story 2, Bug's Life, Incredibles, and now The Good Dinosaur, I stay on from the beginning till the end.
Okay.
It varies, when I wrap off, but it's nice to be able to do that, to see it's this nice sense of completion and just being able to be involved from the beginning to the end is really, it's really satisfying because you see it in the design phase when it's nothing, and then you seeing it through the process as it goes through modeling, shading, lighting, and animation for the characters. I love that.
Yeah.
I love to be in production, and I love to be involved in the process. It's really fun.
Yeah. For you personally, when did you want to become an animator? You wanted to, for lack of a better term, draw for a living.
I think the turning point for me was my parents, when I was 16, they sent me to New York to live with my auntie, Peggy, and they enrolled me in a high school drawing and painting program at the School of Visual Arts in New York City. And I was, from Sacramento, really small town, but being in New York and going to the museums and being in a class with people that were, 20 to 30 year olds that were like amazing draftsmen.
Yeah.
I realized I love this and I feel like I can do something with this in my career.
Okay.
Or I can actually have a career in art, where before I don't think I would have realized that if I didn't go to the School of Visual Arts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know a lot of kids, they're always looking at what they want to do. And you got the adults in their life saying, well, you need to get a, go to school for this and get a job in this and you can be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever.
Yeah.
What do you say to kids who are like, I want to work at Pixar and make movies?
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems like such an out there job. But then you can look at the credits and there's like 5,000 people who are doing it for a living.
Yeah. I would say I'm a perfect example of that. Anyone can achieve what they want, because I feel like I'm not super duper talented or, what I mean? I work really hard, and I feel like my career at Pixar has been really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, if, kids feel like that's what they want to do, I would say go for it and you can do anything that you want to do. It helps when your parents support you.
Yeah.
But even if they say no, you can always search out people that will support you, whether it's a mentor or, a peer. Just search out the people that will support you and you can do it.
Do you actually draw, or are you more into the I
paint.
You paint. Mm-hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I love to make practical models. Okay. Because I feel like in shading,
like
you
physically?
Know, mm-hmm, okay. Yeah. We did a lot of that on Up. So, you know, you don't always, it depends on the project because it doesn't, it's not always conducive. You kind of have to, like, I feel like my job is to figure out what's the best way to visually communicate my ideas, and sometimes it's better to just make a practical model.
Okay.
Like an example for The Good Dinosaur, the production designer Harley Jessup and I were figuring out how to illustrate Spot's wild, unruly hair, because he has all these little leaves and twigs in it, just to give him that backstory that he's been outside for a long time and that, you know, he's probably sleeping on the ground. And it gives him this, I feel like the audience will be empathetic towards him because, oh, he's sleeping on the ground and he has leaves in his hair. But so we bought this cheap woman's wig and I sprayed it with spray mount and we threw dirt in it and twigs and leaves and we took it to art review and Pete thought it looked like Elizabeth Taylor's hair wig. And it was kind of a disaster, but it sometimes no from the director also guides you to a final finished look.
Sure.
It doesn't always have to be yes, that's it. You can always be no, 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 no. And then it does guide you just as much as a yes does.
Okay. Your favorite animated movie that you didn't work on? Because that's unfair if you worked on it.
Let's see.
Any kind of animation. Stop motion, cell.
I think it might be Snow White.
Snow White. Going right back to the original.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is that?
Either Snow White or Bambi. Okay. Bambi, because I love that they took that, you know, sort of hunting issue and sort of made it be emotional and, you know, gave awareness to that, you know, kind of sad thing. Mm-hmm. And then I love the backgrounds.
Okay.
The, you know, painted backgrounds. And Snow White, I love the design of that movie.
Okay.
And the very limited, restrained palette. Those are two my favorites.
Sure. Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely allowed. Are you at the pinnacle of what you want to do, or is there more stuff you want to do beyond? I mean, professionally.
I love stop motion.
Okay.
I would, you know, maybe someday love to work on a stop motion project. I love, you know, like Fantastic Mr. Fox. Mm-hmm. Or the Grand Budapest Hotel. That's not super stop motion, but
they're very
know.
Rustic too. I mean, compared to something like Corpse Bride or the Tim Burton stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I just love the way that Wes Anderson like thinks about production design.
Yeah.
So I'm always inspired by those, you know, types of movies where I can tell that he's thinking. I can see his thought process in his movies. But also, I would love to be a production designer someday and work on a film production designing.
For a full live-action film?
I think for a CG film.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully at Pixar.
Something like what would be considered an animated film, or something that would be more on the level of like Avatar or something like that.
I think I would love to try it in CG.
Okay.
First.
So more animated side.
Mm-hmm. Going
full photorealism.
Yeah. I love this medium.
Uh-huh.
And I love being at Pixar and I love living in the Bay Area. I feel like it's kind of a luxury to be able to do that. So I hope to stay at Pixar as long as I can, because it's a creative, really creative place, and I feel like the collaboration between technical and art is really amazing, and I want to stay there as long as I can.